Welcome back, friends. For today and the next few episodes, Sarah and I will be exploring the concept of gift. When you see these shows, it will be the Advent and then perhaps the Christmas season. And most of us during the Advent season is when we're buying our gifts. So this whole concept of gift is a pretty important one. It is an important one, and it's an important one to God. God spent a lot of time preparing you and I in the particular, and the human race in general, for the greatest gift that could be given, which as we know is his son, Jesus Christ. And second, I think, to that great gift, well, you know, with Jesus Christ, and that comes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the love of God the Father, Our Lady isn't too far behind in those lists of great gifts. But we're going to focus on our Blessed Lord because of the incarnation. John Paul II, in his encyclical Redemptoris Hominis, will say that Christ, the Redeemer, fully reveals man to himself. This quote about Jesus, I think, shows what a tremendous gift Christ is. He is gift in many ways, and one of them is that he helps us to make sense of ourselves. And that is a wondrous thing. It's not a means to an end, but rather it is the source of all joy. Christ is the ultimate demonstration of God's goodness and generosity. Paul's rhetorical question in Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" That concept of gift again. And Paul, as we will try to do, keep this giving, whether it's from, regardless of the giver, with Christ as the prototype. So Jesus himself. And that is the most costly and bountiful gift God could possibly give us. If we've been given Jesus, we have been given all things on his coattails. Catechism 614. The sacrifice of Christ is unique. It completes and surpasses all other sacrifices. First, it is a gift from God the Father himself. So it's God the Father, not God the Creator, God the Father. And for the Father handed his Son over to sinners in order to reconcile us with himself. At the same time, it is the offering, the gift of the Son of God made man, who in freedom, and that's an important, when we get to definition of gift, that's going to be an important part, freedom, and love, offered his life to his Father, gifting, through the Holy Spirit, in reparation for our disobedience. Christ's gift of the Holy Spirit, the Pope writes, is a new way of God's being with the world that goes beyond God's self-gift in creation, and indeed it does. This is self-giving for the world's redemption, which is carried out in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Meditating on Christ saying that the Holy Spirit will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, John 16:8, the Pope, John Paul II, proposes that the Holy Spirit comes into the world because the world has forgotten its story. Christ revealing man to himself. There's that amnesia, forgetting. The world does not know where it came from, what sustains it, or where its destiny lies, although it assumes it knows all these things. So there's that presumption and pride blocking the vision of man. The sending of the Holy Spirit reveals to the world the truth about itself and its history.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I would add to that, and I do think that it is kind of interesting in terms of just the Judeo-Christian history, you know, our biblical exegesis, as it were. It's very, very different from all of the other myths of creation, shall we say, when we pit them up against, you know, the story of Gilgamesh and all the other forms. Because in all of those, man, you know, like I'm thinking of the one in particular where man is created by, you know, the teeth of dragons, right? And I think when you talk about how God has to come to reveal man to himself, because man, when he looks in the mirror, he sees the dull reflection of his sin. Right. And so when man reveals himself to himself, man will only reveal himself as the sinner. And it's interesting. That's also one of the primary errors of Luther. Right. Is that he felt that we were just dung heaps that were covered by snow. Right. That's one of his images. Right.
Sure.
And yet God created man good. So God has to enter into time to reveal to man that he is not primordially bad. He has fallen from the nature with which he was first created. And I do think that that is one of the most profoundly beautiful teachings that the church has, that God created us good when he saw us fall out of even a more bounteous goodness. He comes to us as a gift to remind us of that goodness that lies dormant and that can be restored through grace.
That's exactly right. And as you were saying that, what came to my mind, you were exactly right with Luther's quote, by the way, but is this, it seems like a real strange tangent, but it's true, the concept of plenary indulgence. The Gotcha. Church presumes that we can be in a state of grace to earn plenary indulgences on a regular basis. I forget which writer, Dan Burke, I think it was Dan Burke who I heard. People think, oh, you know, people who are in a state of grace or like about two, our Lord and our mother. And he will caution the same thing. That isn't the view of the church, and it certainly isn't the view of Christ. That's not why he did all this, so that we can be snow-covered dung heaps.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's such an art. Like
it's really to restore.
Right. It's such a paltry view of the power that is within God, that he, as if he who could create everything out of nothing cannot restore all things once created back to their former pristineness, right? I mean, that just seems, I mean, and we, you know, it's funny because we can actually do the same thing, right? Insofar as we have elements. Right. So we can draw out dirty, muddied gold from the ground. And through a process of purification, we can restore it to its original nobility. Right. I mean, so if man can do that with nature, if man can restore something to its most pristine nature, surely God is going to be capable of doing that with his own creation.
Yes, that's correct. That is cool. All right, friends, we'll meet up in the next episode where we'll define gift. Till then, fides, gratia.